Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
3 o'clock hour, WEEI afternoons on a not so nice Thursday. A little rain. In fact, this is definitely not motorcycle weather, Ted Johnson.
Definitely not. I heard you guys talking about maybe going to Toronto on my Harley.
Can you fit us on there?
Sherman won't fit all of you guys.
Sherman.
I can fit one of you guys, but Sherman can't carry all of you guys. So if you want to go up on Sherman, you're going to have to.
So you got a little hog.
That is not true.
Andrew, take a lap.
A Harley is a hog, and he said we couldn't all fit.
Take a lap. Well, hold on. You got the new truck, so a couple of us can hang out in the back of the truck. Someone gets to ride with Ted on Sherman. We're good. Now you got
to name
your truck.
Fitzy wants a road trip to a Sox playoff game, wherever they end up.
I think that could be fun. I mean, that would be a fun. I've heard Toronto's a great time. It's not Montreal fun, but it's up there as far as nightlife goes. We could take in a ball game and then go clubbing at night.
Let's get one of those hotel rooms that overlooks the field.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Everybody got their passports ready?
And we can get Stiz his first.
I'm good.
We can get Stiz his first poutine.
Stiz, you've never had poutine?
I have not.
I had poutine.
Have you ever had a Canadian?
I am Canadian. Oh, I know what you mean.
You know
in Montreal, there's
yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but actually, I am Canadian. My dad and my family came from Nova Scotia, so.
Really?
That's right.
Learn something every day about Stiz. See, it's already been an informative 3 o'clock hour. And it's
was that a prison island?
For the three-point stance.
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer, and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you've never had a Canadian, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you and your City Connect jersey will lead us off. Are you ready?
I am ready, and so's my audio.
Okay, here it is.
0-1. Massa swings and drives one high and deep into right field. Forget about it. Oh, baby, way gone for Yoshida. He is unbelievable against these Blue Jays, and it is 4-0 Red Sox.
Did I do that?
My guy. That's my guy right there. I have a new favorite DH
guy, huh?
For the Boston Red Sox. I owe Masataka Yoshida an apology. It was about, I don't know, 60 days ago, I said, I never want to see this guy play again for the Red Sox. Yep. All you do is ground out to second base.
And he's your
you
guy.
Stink. But you know what? The manager had patience with him. I didn't. And it paid off for the manager. I'm going to read you a series of quick numbers. 2-2-2-2-1-0-2-2. That's Yoshida's number of hits in his last 8 games. The guy is a two-hit machine. He's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. He runs great. He looks great. His teammates love him. He pulls his pants up a little high, but I can look past that. Yoshida, I said it earlier, but I needed to do it in a three-point stance because then they put it on social and it goes officially viral. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I should have had more faith in you. Hopefully the Red Sox play the Blue Jays in Toronto in the playoffs because Yoshida is a legit hit machine, RBI machine, and dare I say it, a cleanup DH.
Wow. Just an 8-game sample.
Yes.
Okay.
He had a little shoulder setback. Alex Cora told us yesterday. And I have my theory, Ted, that Toronto is most similar to the lighting and the buildings he played in Japan, and that maybe he feels more comfortable backdrop-wise and sort of the setup there.
I like him hitting right now, too, because if you got the Yankees or Toronto, he hits the ball out of the park in Toronto, and
Yankees.
Yankees Stadium, he'll hit it out of there, too.
So, Yoshida, I'm sorry, I was mean. See, when Dan Ball said he never wanted to see Walker Buehler again, well, he was kind of right, and the team agreed a little bit later. After that, I was a little presumptuous in my hate for Yoshida. Mm. He's back, baby, and now hopefully he's part of the reason you have a deeper, longer lineup heading into the postseason, Fitzy. It
takes a big man.
I absolutely
Well, he's
love
a little
it.
Man, and I'm a little man. So
I never thought
I'd hear
man the words.
To Matt. Admit his big mistake. Yep. Sorry, go ahead, Fitzy.
No, please, by all means, Ted, you're right. You know, not only does he absolutely mash in Toronto, and if it were up to me and they knew they were going to play the Blue Jays next week, I'd say, you know what? Leave Masataka up there for a few days. Go ahead. Have a Canadian or two. It's fine by me. Treat yourself. I'll even give you the corporate card. And if they play the Yankees with that short porch and right where we've seen him hit some big home runs before, he'll rake. Oh, guys, it may be that he's heating up to a point, like Cora said yesterday. You can actually, when he comes up, like look forward to the at-bat or literally think like, oh, he's going to get a big hit. This is what he's been doing the last 2 weeks.
Instead, I used to just bat. What was the thing I was betting on, Dan Ball? You could bet on, like, ball doesn't leave infield or something like that.
Yeah, in play out, I believe, was the specific outcome you could put good money on.
And you're right, Fitzy. When he used to, I literally hated seeing him come on my TV screen because it was, like, just wasted time. Can we all just agree it's going to be an out and move on to the next hitter is the way I felt back then. Now, all of a sudden, he's a two-hit machine. Every once
back
in a while,
up,
you got to back
it up.
Every once in a while. Like a truck on Sturrow Drive that
Sorry,
hit the
Masa,
overpass.
Sorry, I was not familiar with your game.
Exactly. Well, I was, because his game for a really long time was not very entertaining and not very fun. But now, all of a sudden, he's part of the rolling Red Sox that are heading to the postseason.
Does he have a similar swing to Ichiro? Kind of like the way he slaps at it sometimes.
Not as much.
Or opens his hips.
Not as much.
And the follow-through is, though, to your point. The way that he finishes, absolutely.
Yes. A little bit like Ichiro, It's interesting.
And they both also hold the bat very still before they swing as well. There are definitely some similarities.
There.
He is up to 361 in 25 games against Toronto. Just quickly, he's also a 275 career hitter against the Guardians and 273 against the Astros. So some of the potential teams that you could be seeing, he's also had varying forms of success. But something about Toronto, I don't really know. But we'll leave that one there. Andy's guy, he's gone with the direction of the wind, and now he loves Yoshida.
That's because I blow.
No surprise.
I'd say, honestly, like Hart Stadium must have spent so much money on those moving goalposts on both sides of the field.
Hey, I just acknowledge things as they come along, right? Same with you, Ted. You had to acknowledge for a little period there that Bregman wasn't at his best necessarily at the plate because them were the facts.
Well, I didn't give up on him and just trash
him. Did. You were close.
No, definitely not. Nope.
Takes a big man to admit he was wrong, Andy.
That's right. I'm the biggest man on this show.
Oh, sure. That's right. And don't look at any pictures. Fitzy, are you ready?
Wow, this is off to a terrific start. Let's add to the fun.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, this Sunday, obviously, it's a big chance for your New England Patriots to get back on track and hopefully finish the month of September with a 500 record, 2-2, clean up all the mistakes in Isle Vrabel, Isle May, but maybe not Isle Stevenson this Sunday. Because if you saw some of the footage that was released yesterday from the practice fields outside of Gillette Stadium from some of your favorite media cartel members, you saw that when they were running back reps, the order yesterday of handoffs and pass pro work went number 3, Ramondre Stevenson, number 2, Antonio Gibson, and number 1, Travion Henderson. That's right. Travion Henderson was repping with the ones yesterday at Patriots practice. Now, obviously, there's practice today, practice tomorrow. They got the install going on right now as we speak, getting ready for Sunday's game against the Panthers. And this could be a plum opportunity for the young rookie, the vaunted second-round pick out of the Ohio State University to come in, right the wrongs of his pass pro issues the last couple of weeks, show everybody why he's so dangerous with the ball in his hands in open field, on screens and wheel routes, and maybe actually tote the rock more than just to the left side of the offensive line because he's going against the 25th-ranked rush defense in the Carolina Panthers. That's a get-right game for their running attack, and this could be Travion's coming-out party.
It's a no-brainer with what's going on with Armonde that Travion's in there. However, Travion hasn't been very good when he's been in there.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
A lot of penalties. His blocking on blitz pickup has not been good at all. So, just to say he's going to go in there and all of a sudden things are going to be different, I'm not so sure. So maybe he doesn't have the fumble issues that Ramondre has, but I think Antonio and Travion both are more deserving of carries. And, Ramondre's got to kind of chill and watch and learn his lesson the hard way. And just that to me, I've always said this, you want to get guys motivated, take away their reps, and you will see more of a hyper-focus usually more times than not. Whenever they get the chance to play again.
Ted, when you watched Henderson in particular last week, because I think he had 11 carries, but for like 2.5 yards per carry.
Mm. Yep.
I don't know if he was running scared because he didn't want to be the third running back to fumble on the day.
Right.
And he was like
There's
extra cautious.
It, can you imagine?
Because he's got to be explosive. That's his game. His game is explosive.
So
right?
So let's design plays to the outside.
Yeah.
Let's toss
sweeps, it, baby.
Toss cracks. Pin and pull type plays. Get him going to the outside. That's where he does his damage is on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to see him get into space. I think he's going to get opportunities, but he needs to produce on them. Like this, we all had him like penciled in as a potential offensive rookie of the year candidate. Mm-hmm. And so far he's been irrelevant. Like you just mentioned, the only notable things he's done have been kind of bad, right? Penalties and not making the most of his opportunities. So, yeah, it's a big week for him. But big opportunity, too. This could be one of those, like, he takes the job.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Runs with it and maybe never gives it back kind of thing.
That happens a lot in the NFL. Guys
especially at running
get hurt
back.
And they lose their job to the guy that comes in and replaces them all the time.
Yep.
I'm excited to see what Josh McDaniels can do, or at least the potential for what he can do to kind of mix up the play calling for him a little bit more. Get him out in space, run him in different, off different guards and things like that. So we'll leave that one there, see what they can do. And from Andre Stevenson has a little bit less to do here this week. Ted Johnson, are you ready?
I'm ready, Daniel.
All right. Here are 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right. I want you guys to hear some audio. This was Carlos Narvaez after the game last night after he had a home run that knocked in three RBIs. Listen to Will Fleming talk to Carlos Narvaez and his impact that he's had on this team this year.
Bro, I got chills right now. I barely can talk. It's been a long ride, bro. I don't know. It's been amazing. Every journey is tough, but my one has been tough one. Like I said, just feel proud to be in this group, to competing at this level and making, getting closer to the postseason. I just got to thank God, feel proud every night, every time I put my jersey on. So, got to keep going.
I'm going to pull a Fitzy here. I'm going to tell you how you're supposed to feel, okay?
All right.
If you don't hear that audio from Carlos Narvaez and him getting choked up after the performance he had, and just the his place on this team and Will Fleming telling him that people are just love him and are big fans of him, and to hear that reaction, that's that good stuff right there. And that's kind of – baseball kind of has that I don't think some of the other sports have. I love the humanness of baseball because it's just you out there, you alone. And so his response, I thought, to the questions from Will Fleming, I thought were touching. I thought were incredible. I thought were all the reasons that you become a fan of baseball and of this team. So, Carlos Narvaez, I'm telling everybody that they need to buy in on this guy because He is a likable guy, and after you hear that interview, it's hard not to be pulling for this guy.
Dan Ball, have we confirmed that technically, I don't know if they were officially done, but the trade for Narvaez was the same day as the trade for Crochet?
Yeah, I heard that bandied about. Let me double check that.
I mean, AI says it's true. I did the quick in the AI overview, if you Google it or whatever, says it's true. December 11th, they made a trade for Crochet, and they also made a trade for... That's a pretty good day for Brezbot.
You know what? And there's a link to the two. I mean, Crochet walked behind Narvaez during that interview. Will Fleming said something to that effect, and then it got Carlos talking about Crochet, and just the way he talked about Garrett Crochet was just awesome. Like how he just the reverence he has. So these are two young guys that hopefully, if they are the way they are playing in their young careers, keeps going here, is pretty special. If you can have a relationship with the catcher and a pitcher like that, that are on the same page, that are pulling for each other, that like that, then you got something pretty cool.
There's no crying in baseball.
No, there is. There is, baby. And Carlos just proved it, man.
Have we noticed a little trend here with Ted Johnson? He's a sucker for these tears, emotions. It was the NFL draft, the NBA draft. I think you really enjoy the grandfather. Somebody was involved with one of them.
That's the part I really enjoy the most is the are you kidding me? Like when the Olympics come, I don't care about the races. I care about the backstories.
What he really likes to do is read romantic novels.
Hey,
the emotional side.
Let's go.
We heard on Tuesday from Mark Schlereth that Cement Head was, or Keg Head or whatever the other
Ted, Keg Head Ted.
Keg Head Ted. Yeah. Now we get the softer side a little later in the week. The tearjerker.
That's what I like, that duality. It keeps people off balance. They're not really sure what to make
Absolutely,
of me.
Absolutely.
We'll call the softer side. We'll call that Quilted.
There you go.
I see what you did there. Let's get a sponsorship for that.
On the topic of Narvaez, aside from the fact that it seems like he's turned into, I heard Will Fleming say maybe 20 times when Castiglione was in the booth the last couple weekends, oh, you would have loved covering Narvaez. He's the best guy around. So there's behind the scenes stuff, but I put this together seeing that you were going to do that as your 3-point stand. So he is first in terms of runners caught stealing with 32, tied for second in defensive runs saved among catchers, tied for sixth in blocks above average, seventh in catcher framing runs, and second in caught stealing above average. I know some of these are analytics and whatever else, but pretty much every single aspect of the defensive side of the game for Narvaez, and I'm ignoring one very specific detail that Andy's making a face at me for. Other than that, the catcher's interference, he truly has been a top five defensive catcher in the game, which I don't think you can overstate how important he has been at the catcher position and to the pitching rotation.
And I don't actually blame him for the catcher's interference.
I don't
know. He's coached that way. They're trying to steal strikes. They want him to do it. If they didn't want him to do it, I think he's very capable of sliding back 3 inches so he doesn't get catchers. They want that's where they want him. He's doing his job.
Back-to-back games?
Oh, he's got
I think he had two.
He had two in one inning. In one game. Yeah,
oh, did he really?
I believe. Yeah, okay. It's a little, but no, Dan Ball, you're right. I think that's a stat we need to note, but I don't actually think that stat is on him. I think that's on the team and Bailey and Cora and Veritek and how they want to play it.
Again, that was the position that we talked about before the season that just looked thin. I mean, Connor Wong, he's not very good defense, and his offense was Carlos Arvaez, he's a rookie from the Yankees, don't know much about him, and now look at him.
And I'd also like to know, and we'll never know, because if you're Craig Breslow and somebody asked you, you're going to be like, we had hopes that he'd be X, Y, and Z. But what did you, on December 11th, when you traded for him, if I had said, what's best case scenario for Carlos Narvaez, was it this? Was it he's going to be one of the best catchers in baseball, he's going to be hitting home runs to help you go to the playoffs? I find that hard to believe.
If I'm Breslow, I'm telling everybody, I knew it, I saw it. I knew this kid was going to be special. Are you kidding me?
This does sort of beg the question. It's been on my mind a lot recently, and now with the success last night of Crochet on the mound, he's no doubt the, quote, team Cy Young, though Chapman's been amazing. Who would you guys say, if somebody were to ask you, who's the MVP of this team this year?
Crochet. Trevor Story.
Wow.
Wait, not Bregman? That?
I mean, no,
the injury killed St. Bregman.
He was
Narvaez has
months,
entered the chat.
Years.
He has been such a revelation. He's been so clutch for this team. No one expected to. I think he merits consideration in the conversation.
No, I absolutely think you can argue Crochet. I think you can argue Trevor Story. Trevor Story is probably the most wire to wire everyday player, consistent, option.
Other than May.
And what, other than what?
Other than March, month of May.
Oh, I thought you said then you, and I was like, no, you're consistent, Ted. You do a fine job.
Other than Dustin May,
And some people have that weird, the starting pitcher or the pitcher can't be the MVP dynamic. If you're including pitchers, I think Crochet is your MVP.
Probably so.
Because he sets a, I mean, there's a tone set.
It is definitely Crochet.
Like before.
Include him, yeah.
Like Lou Maloney was tweeting at like 6 a.m. yesterday about the pig and his bacon and Crochet. Like that's how big a figure you are over days of the, anyone out there and obviously produced.
I mean, the ace pitcher has the same, it's kind of, sort of, from an emotional and mental standpoint, effect on a team as a good quarterback does.
Yep. And I would say a hot goalie. Like they change everything. Like they make everybody else's job. Every player on the Red Sox, I believe, not named Crochet, shows up on Crochet days thinking, our job's easier today.
Yeah.
It's just easier. Yeah. Like we can be a little less good. And I don't think they're professionals. I know they're trying to be their best, but that's like a weight is removed from them because you know you have that guy on the mound. So I would probably vote for him. Yes, Dan Ball.
Cora did say during the post game yesterday, he said, oh, yeah, every 5 days we show up thinking it's win day. Can you imagine going in having that kind of mindset?
Right.
I mean, that's what the rest of the roster has.
And that's awesome. And if you do it the way over 32 starts, like that's wins that you're starting to pile up, and that's a big chunk of your season.
It is
your
so nice. It's just so nice to have a pitcher that's the mentality that he has. I mean, the Chris Sale, he had it, but he just was never good enough to really to believe into.
Well, he couldn't sustain it. Yeah,
couldn't sustain it. I mean, David Price, please. I mean, just this guy is a dog, and he's a tough SOB. And I love that in an ace pitcher.
And 8 scoreless innings last night, 6 Ks, no runs allowed, no home runs, and the Red Sox win. And now we're talking about clinch day. We're about 15 minutes away from that A's-Astros game first pitch, where if the Astros lose, the Red Sox clinch a playoff spot. But up next for us here on WEEI Afternoons, it's Thursday, it's 3:30. That means it's time to talk to Tom E. Curran, and I feel like we have a lot of Kraft and Brady and Belichick questions for him. Oh, and also the football team that's actually here in Foxborough. That's up next with Tom E. Curran, WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.